Hello and welcome back to the 10 Pint Podcast. We're here with me, Lucas Normal, and Beefham.
You alright, lad?
And so we've already had Ped on, and today we've got the other half of Toffee TV. Baz, how are we, mate?
Good.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Dry now.
Yeah, strength on the way in. Yeah, we'll get started off with, like, how did your footballing sort of interest begin?
My uncles, really. My dad and my uncles. It was weird because when I was like 5, 6, 7, I used to, like, one of my uncles would like mind us if my mum and dad went out, and he'd be like, put Matt to the day and I should be fuming. So I kid, I want to play with my toys and all that. And then, but honestly, it's mad now. And then there was a flip. I think he just probably wore me down and I just started watching it. And I remember watching Leicester City, and it, they must have been a, like, Match of the Day. I had a couple of games on, use a babies, you won't know nothing about this, but they just like pick a couple of games, and they'd sometimes have what will be a championship game now.
Yeah.
So, and Leicester had blue top, white shorts and white socks on. So when you, obviously, Everton, one of the first, where I used to call Everton Aberdeen when I was a kid. I couldn't say Everton when I was this big. So it was in, you know, it was put into me the minute I could walk, Everton. But I remember watching the Leicester and thinking it was Everton. And I think that just caught the attention. I don't know why that particular day. And then there was just a flip, and my uncles were just non-stop with it, you know, and I'd spend a lot of time in my nans with them. Yeah. And my dad, obviously, my dad was giving it that one and wore me down. And then the next minute I was obsessed, absolutely obsessed with it.
So what was the first game you went to?
I remember going as a kid, being taken and not... I remember Ipswich battering us in one game at Goodison, which, you know, got used to us losing at Goodison. The first real proper game I can remember, the start to finish... I can remember we beat Birmingham 3-1 at home and Alan Biley scored the opening day and all that. But the first game was that season, I can remember everything about the game and the trip and all that. We had Coventry City at home in the League Cup on a Tuesday night, and they had a brown kit on and it was horrific. And we had a striker called Mick Ferguson, 5-goal Fergie. We got him from Coventry. And he was 6 foot, and he had size 6 feet, which doesn't really work out.
No,
and
that's mad, though.
Yeah, it's mad.
All over.
And exactly. And he had a big perm, and he scored 5 goals in a few games for us, and we thought he was going to be great, and he never scored again. But that night he did score, and we drew 1-1 in the first leg with them, and we beat them away. But that game, I can remember being on the bus and going to Goodison and walking up the steps and the lights, and my first night game, so yeah. Therefore it, I can remember everything, the smells, that was in the paddock, and fellas with cigars and everything. And obviously, use again, for you, it's just totally alien, isn't it? But in them days, that was what was just synonymous, that smell of cigars. And the minute I got by Goodison and smelt it, it just feel like...
Has Goodison like changed much since then?
You can't have cigars in there now. No? Yeah. I mean, what was mad was I was in the lower Bullens, like the paddock, the Bullens, and the upper Bullens, all wood. It's like fellas with cigars lashing them and that. But, no, I mean, the Park End's obviously changed. The Park End was standing with a big wall, and obviously years and years before that, it was a big half moon at either end. But without, in terms of just like the standing going to seats now, it's not really changed that much.
Yeah.
Apart from the Park End stand, obviously. But yeah, that was the thing with that, them smells and, you know, Dionne Warwick, Why Do You Have To Buy A Heartbreaker song, and Zoom by Big Larry's Fat Band or something like that. Then song Zoom Chase, that kind of thing just takes me back to being a kid and being in there at 2:20 watching the players warm up. I get all warm and fuzzy because now I try and get in at like 1:50, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember your first game?
See, my mum and dad always tell me it was against Luton when we won 4-0. But the first one I can properly remember was... then when we drew 1-1 against United in 2008, and Phil Neville put a proper, like...
2008, geez,
that's like along Ronaldo.
Yeah,
but I was sat right by that, and I remember that being like a goal.
Who scored in that game?
Fellaini. Darren Fletcher scored for them.
That's mad if Fellaini was your first.
Like, that's sort of the first one I can probably remember. Yeah.
Crunchy and tackle, that one.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a season-changing tackle.
It did.
It always gets brought up on Twitter every now and again.
Remember when Neville done that?
Well, remember when he scored his own goal against United? Sure, he scored his own goal against United.
Neville.
Didn't he?
I know that keeper scored his own goal when we got beat 4-2 by them.
I don't know
if that's the same thing, but...
Made it up.
Unless Phil Neville was in goal, it's not there to be the same.
What was your first game, wasn't it? Blackburn?
I can't remember. I remember the first one I remember was Arsenal, and we beat Arsenal 1-0. James Beattie scored, and Fabregas got sent off.
Beattie run through and dink it over the keeper at the street.
That was the worst one I remember.
We had Matteo Ferrari playing that day. I loved him. He was only there for a few bar three.
It's a blast from the past.
Mate, you know what? He come in and he looked boss, and then he was just injured, and Moyes was like, nah, yeah, good, mate.
But then apparently my first one, my dad said, was we played Blackburn at home. I think it was the FA Cup.
Third round,
it could be 3 or 4-1.
4-1.
Yeah, apparently that was my first one. Yeah.
Johnson scored a
pair. Got destroyed. Benny McCarthy smashing shots in from the edge of the box.
That's a forgotten footballer.
Do you know, was he at Porto with Mourinho?
Yeah, well, Everton tried to sign him, and he was, I remember the Sky thing was he's travelling across the desert in a Jeep to make this deadline for Everton to sign him, and he must have took a wrong turn, or the sat-nav wasn't on because he never ended up.
Turned his phone off like a Soho.
Do anything to make sure Everton don't get you.
Do you know what? Everton and transfers are just great, aren't they?
Yeah.
God.
It's like, what's that Argentinian midfielder ever call me?
No, he's been linked.
Seen him before, adding from the day. still waiting on Conte, don't you? Well, mate. Yeah.
On the Patreon podcast the other night.
Premier podcast, come on, mate.
I don't know what
come
I thought, on. Right. Steve and Ned were saying you were a good footballer back in the day.
Okay.
So, what was your...
Steve has got some background to say that. Because he part of the family that have known me since I was was Steve's cousin, my best mate. We've known each other since we were north, and best man at each other's wedding, and our mums have been mates since kids. Ned is a baby, he's only seen me kick a football when we've done Christmas challenges, and I embarrassed him because he's a kid getting embarrassed by a 40-odd-year-old fella. I was all right, I was okay.
Weren't you at Everton for the spell?
I was at Everton, yeah.
I was the academy, like, sort of back then, because we've had, like...
We've had a few, haven't we, on?
Yeah, sort of, like, more, like... What years would it have been when you were at Everton?
87 was when I... Everton were champions when I signed for Everton.
What was that?
It wasn't an academy then. You see, I don't really talk about it, because it is what it is, but...
Yeah.
I started off at Chester. I was playing for... Like I was saying, I got into footy kind of late, really. I was 9. I think when I started playing football, and I'd done that, I was in year 5, it is in Newmont for you guys. It was 30 years juniors when I was a kid, and I remember going to a trial game, you know, the school was like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to have a trial and all that, and I remember turning up, and Mr. Flynn, old teacher, loved him, said, where do you play? And I was just like, anywhere. I hadn't played anywhere. I'd kicked the ball around my uncle since I was a kid, but I'd never think he. And he went, played right back. And I was like, yeah, okay. I was up front. I'd never got back. You know, I was like, I made Trent Alexander-Arnold look like the greatest right back ever. You know what I mean? Because I just never caught it. After about 20 minutes, he went, no, yeah, I think you're going to be a striker. Like, go and play up there. And I got into the school team and done all right. And I knew where the net was and started scoring a lot of goals. And about 4 weeks later, I was playing for the year above, which was, you know, considered I'd never played. So I thought, I'm all right. I can score goals and stuff. And then when I went to senior school, Chester, we're watching a game and I went there. And I liked that. I really enjoyed it at Chester. Poor dad having to drive me up after school a couple of nights a week and all that. And after there, I went to Wigan. Wigan took me from Chester. It was the next one up.
Yeah.
And all that. And Wigan was weird because... It was just a weird setup. They were like all over here, but it was when I look at the academies now, and I've heard a couple of the lads you've had on as well, it's like a different world to what it was then, you know. Wasn't an academy, it was you went training a few times a week, and there was some clubs had B teams, but most didn't. So the lads who were apprentices, who were scholars now they're called, aren't they? They were getting the game, so you just had training and then games that they cobbled together. And I can remember being at Wigan. I remember I went there and I had a trial game and I'd done all right. And they were like, you know, want you here all the time. Yeah, I was at school and go train. And it was the holidays you went in. So you were in the holidays, you'd go in for a few days because you were off school and everything. And it was dead weird because I was playing up front and doing really well. But we were playing in games that like, they were like games they just arranged.
Yeah.
And I remember I was 14. Nearly 15, 14.5 or something. And we had they had Manchester United at home in what was the Lancashire League then. It's now it'd be like whatever they call it now, like the under-18s, yeah, would be whatever, yeah, you know, Premier League 3 or whatever it is. And I was like, okay, I've been called up to this thing, you know, I'm 14.5 playing with 18-year-olds. So I got there and the manager was a bit odd, like, said, I need to play right back, that right back thing again. So you've heard how good I was at right back in the trial game. So we play Manchester United and I got a bit of a chasing at right back, and after an hour he put me up front for 20 minutes and then he took me off. Okay, sound, you know. They got beat 3-1, I think. Needless to say, I touched the ball about 5 times as a right back. And he was dead. He was like, you know, we're going to sign you, we're going to sign you. And after that game, he cooled off a little bit, don't blame him, to be honest. And one thing he said to me, which I thought was really mad, was like, he went, like, we want you to come back next season. It was in the April or something, it was just before my birthday. And we want you to come back next season, sound. He went, but, you know, we talked about you signing it and everything. He said, but there just a couple of question marks after today. And I was like, okay, you know, yeah, all right. So I was playing footy. And he went, because I'm just not sure if you're going to be in our first team in the next 18 months. And I was thinking, 14.5, you know, yeah, nearly 15, as if I'm going to be in a first team at 16, you know. So went, and anyway, Everton had watched me and I went to Everton. And I had a chance to go to Nottingham Forest, and I should have probably gone to Forest, but it was Everton. And
why did you not go? Just because you love Everton?
Because it was Everton. And he was champion, it's like the best team in the land, and it was your club, and training was 20
Did
minutes.
Any of them players you were playing with, like, sort of make it?
No one come through. Neil Sang, who was Tom Davis's agent, he's an agent now. Neil's a good player. He ended up at, I think he went to Torquay, but no one in my year really got through and done anything.
Yeah, so going from playing at Everton Academy level, now we talk about Everton.
I know, it's weird, and I worked there as well. It was a weird time moving from Narin to working there as well. A few years later, I played for Burnley. Everton released me and I lost my head for a bit. Like, not lost my head as in being mad, but just devastated. Like, because you're told thing, not no one said to me, you're going to make it, you're going to be doing this, but you're given like stuff all on the way, and people are scoring a lot of goals and people are happy with it.
I suppose it must be so hard, like, not to sort of get your hopes up, because that's every Everton fan's dream to play for Everton. So if you've got hot, like, if you're sort of in the door, sort of, I know there's a long way from that, but if you're in that door, you're going to be thinking about it, going to sleep every night.
Do you think it's better to say, like, say if you're an Everton fan and you stay at Wigan because it doesn't have that connection, and then like your dad's not coming on to you? I think it must be more emotional, mustn't it, if you support the club.
Oh, in a way. And there's no, and I think it's still a bit like this now, because I know a couple of mates who've had kids there or nephews there, and when you cut, and there's no support network for it. So I remember when I got told they weren't keeping me, and we just played a game and I just scored a hat-trick, we won 4-1 and come in, and I've wore the Everton kit in a game, so I'm not bothered, you know, it's like a great thing. But everyone in the dressing, you have to go up and they're telling you stuff, and everyone's going, nervous, are you? And I was like, yeah, and they're going, why? You know, scoring our goals, it's sound and all that. And then you get told something else. So after that, I come away and I had a couple of, I remember going to, I played a game for Halifax Town against Torquay. This game, and I don't even know what I scored in the game, but I don't really remember because I wasn't interested.
You know,
and I've never told my dad this, but he rang back a couple of weeks later and said, will you come and play another game? And I said, oh yeah.
What league were they in?
Never went. They were in probably like Division League 2, League 1, League 2. Yeah. So at the Shea, my dad drove me like miles and played this game at the Shea. And I went to Bury and my head wasn't in it there either. And then, so you just go, your head goes, you know what I mean? And I went to, and I had a better time at Burnley a bit later, but then circumstances. But for lads who are in it now, and who've been at them clubs since they were 4, 5, 6, and then they're released.
Yeah.
At like 16 or even 18, it's worse, like 18, like when you're thinking this is my career, then you're out the door. There's no network for them. It's like
we had Elliot on, didn't we? Yeah. Elliot Richards, and he was at Everton, I think it was from 10 to 17.
Yeah.
And he said, like, from the moment he was cut type thing, like no one apart from maybe one or two coaches ever contacted him again.
That's it, mate. You just, when you're hot, and when you're out the door, you're out the doors, you know what I mean? And it is, it's a tough thing, and it's, I mean, see the numbers, like, you know, one whatever it is, less than 1% make it. And it's a difficult environment, you know.
Yeah.
And then obviously I ended up doing other stuff and was a joiner for a bit and all that. And then I went back and was working at Everton kind of like 9-10 years later or something. And that was weird, you know. I started off doing the tours, stadium tours with Dave Hickson, God rest his soul, what a fella. We were doing that, and then I moved into the ticket office and ended up doing the tickets for the players and stuff as well as other stuff. But that's a different kettle of fish when you're working there. You do lose the magic very quickly.
Does it rub off fast, does it? Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say it does, because I don't know you.
You start getting a lot more frustrated than ever when you're working there, when you're like, I suppose, because you're closer to it, aren't you?
Yeah, because you live in it, you know what I mean? We all live it, don't we? We're Evertonians, so even you go home after a match and then you get up to Sunday and get that feeling, you feel sick when you haven't won.
That same old feeling.
The same old feeling. And then you go in on a Monday or whatever, don't you? And you go to work or you do whatever you're doing, uni or whatever it is, and other things are there. Everton's still there, but other things. But when you're working there, I used to hate, like when I worked in the ticket office at first, sometimes you get like roster back on after the game.
Oh, just so sell tickets for the next game.
Sell tickets for half an hour after the game. And me after the game for half an hour, get back in and just be like, people would be there and I'd just be like, why are you buying tickets? Just be in my head, I was like, why are you here? Go home and go and have a pint. I'll be fuming. So I was like, that's the boss. Listen, I'll do anything, but I ain't working after the game. Like, not a chance. Because I just couldn't get my head from being devastated if we'd lost to smiling and you know, I'm doing it.
Did you have
all
like contact with the players? So you said you're sorting them tickets?
Yeah, in the end, yeah, yeah.
Do you have
any
mad requests from them? Like, they wanted like 100 tickets or something?
Not 100 tickets, but they got what they wanted, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not necessarily all in one go, but they got pay for them, like, you know what I mean? But they did get kind of what they wanted.
Yeah.
It was a bit, it was interesting time.
After that, so how did you move on from there to, like, obviously Toffee TV?
I left Everton in 2006 and went into social services. I'd had enough of Everton in terms of work, and I wanted to just go to match and not be on top of everything, you know. I'll be honest, we hadn't had a pay rise for years, and it was low pay, and I had kids and all that. You know, it's one of them things, and they weren't even good. You know, it was kind of like Moyes had been there a few years, and we were getting better and all that, but it was time to move on, as it is, isn't it? You've got to, haven't you? And my missus was fed up with me moaning, you know, coming home moaning. And I'd done some work, and I moved into social services, which was difficult. I loved it at first, but then the government make cuts as they do and gets harder and harder. But what I did enjoy was going back to match. It just became match day again, you know, rather than every day. Like building up to it, just like was excited, got to Goodison again, got excited about going in the match, where normally like I'd be there on like even things like Boxing Day, you're in at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You're waiting for the game or your New Year's Day and all that. So it just become
good. Most people buy online now anyway. Don't you like, you don't see many people going on TikTok now.
Oh, I changed the culture when I was there. Me and my best mate is there now. We would, because people would come. Match days, people would be queuing first at like 5 to 3. I hate missing the kickoff and be walking in at like 20 past 3, because people are just turning up and going. In them days, it wasn't sold out all the time. So people are turning up at like 5 to 3. Got time to be like, mate, just buy 2 tickets and go in, because they're kicking off.
Yeah.
Me and you spoke about this loads. When you look at attendances, like sort of 2012 and before, it's all sort of like 31,000.
Yeah, do you know what that Gibson game when he scored against City?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sure it was like 29,000, the crowd, or 30,000. It was something like a City at home, sold out, in it. Like, why do you reckon that is now? Because we really were better then than we are now.
Well, we were miles better, weren't we, under Moyes? I don't know. It's the real answer.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. But then as a kid, going to Goodison, obviously, I was there with less than 5,000 in a Screen Sports Super Cup game against Man United at home on a Wednesday night, because it was just such a rubbish competition. But I was there for Coventry, and it was 8,000 in the League Cup, and you know, 13,000 in the league. People are throwing cushions and that, you know. And then a year later, we're winning the league, and there's 54,000 there. To, you know, and when, well, when Howard Kendall left for the second time in about, so it'd have been 1993-94 season, Liverpool's average gate was 32,000 and Everton's average gate was 23,000. And now you look at it, you know, then 93, so we've six years from being league champions, we were also still in and around the like top six kind of thing, and there was 23,000-24,000, and Liverpool was still up near the top. They would have been 3 years from being league champion, from just winning the league, and their average was 32,000. And then fast forward now, and it's sold out, isn't it?
Do you reckon it's social media as a little, like, it's rammed down your throat constantly now, isn't it?
For the Premier League did change a lot once it's 30 years old now, isn't it? But even then, it's not 30. I'm talking about 2006 when I was there, and we weren't sold out. So it's what, 16 years ago.
Yeah,
I think it has got rammed up. Social media as well. Don't want to miss out. People wanting to go. And the Premier League's just got more glitz and glamour, I think, and it's everywhere. So people go the game, don't they? And
yeah, it's like with us for the away tickets, we always like, but never on that, like my own season tickets, just through someone else, which is sound that they sort us and that, you know what I mean? We do get sorted a lot. But like, it's, I think the last time Everton never sold out with a away end was Sunderland Martinez's last game.
How do you know that?
I just know.
What score was that?
Was that the
Allardyce
one? When they won 3-0,
yeah.
Yeah. He scored a free kick. But anyway, like, it's a matter of fact. Like,
then he scored, didn't he, Coney? The centre half we were trying to buy, yeah.
Him, yeah. 2016. So in the last 6 years, we've sold out every away game.
Yeah.
And then home games, I can't remember the last one which weren't sold out in the league anyway. Like, it's mad. Yeah, like, I don't see where the demands came from.
Going back to like the ticket office, we were doing away stubs. So I've took tickets back to, I've gone to away games and took a bundle of tickets back to drop off at their ticket office to just be sold on the day. Remember doing it just like Birmingham City, Middlesbrough. Remember driving up to Middlesbrough and giving them 500 tickets back to sell on the day, and Evertonians did turn up on the day, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it was, there was still some over, you know what I mean? That was then, and then obviously the demands got, and certainly, like you say, certainly the last 5 or 6 years, it's like gold dust. It's
I think my half had told me a story once when we played Villa on Boxing Day, right? And I think it was, must have been my half had his cousin Lee. I don't even know if they'll watch this, but anyway, apparently he forgot the tickets on the way up for Villa away. But they just been able to just buy them down there. Like, imagine that now, though, forgetting the you'd have to go back, won't you? Like,
you go to, bit of thingy for you, if you leave your tickets, you have to go to get duplicates from the box office there. Yeah. Really, they should be able to trace the tickets online. But yeah, there you go. We had quite a few of them requests. Got all the way in, haven't got me tickets. Go to box office, mate, and last time, you know.
So going on to Toffee TV, I think the first season you've done it, was it Martinez as the same first season?
First season, yeah, what a time, yeah.
What year is that, 2014?
14, yeah.
So what made you start it then? Like, how did you get into it? Because Ped said he'd had a bit of background on radio and that. Had you had anything like that? Or
no, not really. I wanted to do it in 2010, not with Ped. Not that I didn't want to do it with Ped, we weren't, you know, I was still smarting from him kicking seven bells out of me on a Sunday, you know, from about 10 years before. So I'd had in my head, we were just getting marginalised more and more by the telly. There was like nowhere to watch anything Everton. Yeah. Loads of forums and websites and stuff, but there's nowhere to like watch anything Everton for anyone. So in 2010, I was like, should do something. I was used to write a bit on Grand Old Team, or do a bit on that. And my mate who I was on there with, I was like, mentioned it to him, but he was lazy, so it was never happening with him. But it wasn't as easy, obviously, because 2010, you needed like good cameras and all that. And I was like, I've got to, and then they were like expensive. Like, I wouldn't even know how to kind of do it. So it kind of got shelved. So I was doing a bit of writing. I'd been to uni before I went to university later. I went to university when I was 20, 22. Done my A-levels again, went to university when I was 22. So I'd done sport geography and done some journalism there. So I got into like the writing and stuff as well. So that was always there. And then frustrated, so I've done a little bit on websites just to get stuff out, you know, writing and that. And then used to see Ped in the street end, you know, and you should think, not about the kicking. I still remember when you wellied me off and all that. And because he couldn't get near me as a player, even then.
Was he always in the ref's ear on the pitch, Ped?
Was he what?
Always in the ref's ear.
No, you know what? We were in a Sunday league side, played in the Sunday league side with my brother and mates and my cousins and stuff. And I was the player manager. And he was playing for another team. And he was he's younger than me, Pat, a few years younger than me. So in their team, he was quite quiet. But we used to beat them all the time, at this team.
Yeah, yeah.
But they used to kick seven bells out of us, like, and if we got a draw, they were like giving it the full, you know, celebration and all that, like, because we had the good side. Then their team's all right, but we had the best. But he'd off the ball, and they had a big line and all that. But no, he wasn't mildy like he is now. Don't know where he's got that from, like, because it wasn't as a. He might have been as he played in other teams. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure he was. You know what I mean? But So going back, so I knew him and all that, and then he had a radio show in KCC, and I went on. They used to do like a midweek sports show or something. Said, do you want to come on? Just follow me on Twitter and stuff. So I went on and done a bit, and we got on all right. And then I said, should we do something footy wise? And he wanted to do that, so we sorted that out, and we done that. And then after a bit, I said, we should do video. We should start this thing. And he tries to take a bit of, but the reality was my idea. it just was, you know what I mean? But he was fully compliant, so we'd done that, and it started off with a camcorder in the studio, which was a bit, it was all right. Well, it wasn't, but you know, it was a start, and we eventually moved to the Winslow for the first show, which was mad and terrifying.
Was that a final word for one of the games, or was it like the whole review of the season?
It was the whole review, so... His season had literally just ended, and we had there was a lad called Jake was on. He was a comedian, but does loads of brilliant work now with mental health for men and stuff. And we had my mate Dave Feely, LCAB. He was in Howard's Way film and all that. Dave, he was a lunatic, and you know, he is. He's like very animated Evertonian. Yeah. Bawley. So we done it, but it was nerve wracking. It was. Being on camera and actually talking to a camera, talking to someone on the other side, you know, and it was horrible. It was terrible, really.
Believe me, it would be as bad as me on our first podcast. We done laugh. I didn't speak a word, did I? Lads?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I bottled it.
But it's mad though, isn't it? When you do it, because especially
you don't think before it, do you?
You're there. And
camera
like,
goes on. Isn't it?
Like, thing?
Now it's different, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, you relax, don't you? Yeah. And do it, and it is funny when people. They were quite opinionated, like when we have them on, they come on and they're like, they sit down, you press and you can see them.
How long did it take you to get used to the camera, would you say?
Just doing it and doing it. I wouldn't have a thing where I went, oh, it took, you know, it took like 3 months and I was used to it. We done that first one was, we enjoyed it because it turned into a conversation, but the first bit was like horrible. It was like feel sick kind of thing, you know. What's it going to be received like? And there's all of that, obviously. And when we had Derek Mountfield on, I think the second one we did there, and we moved on to recording with a phone, and we pressed record because, like Ped said when he was in, didn't he? The people who did it for us, it took ages to get it turned around. And what started off good on a Monday, by the time Thursday come, you'd lost.
Who
wants to talk about the fact Evan got beat 3-0 at the weekend on Thursday? You're thinking, no, what about this week? So we had the moments where we recorded with a phone and you press record and sit down and go over to it, and it'd gone off after 11 minutes and you'd done an hour. And you were like, oh my God, we'll do another half an hour to Matty and try and remember what we said. So we had lots of good moments like that.
I can remember being made up me. It's like, I must have been about, 13 then, when you first posted that first video, and being like, I think there was one who'd done a few sort of fan cams. Well, not fan cams, just in his bedroom.
Yeah.
That was like, and then there was yous who came around, and I was like, yeah, it's like finally sort of a platform to watch someone like thinking what I'm saying. Because the only thing I could compare it to is like when I used to go to the pub with my Arthur after the match, I used to love listening to him and his mate talk about football.
Because
as a kid, like, although we're probably looking back, some of the opinions are a bit mad now. Like, my half had a chat on that cone. I should have played centre half before Wembley, but that's another story. Right?
But, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, because he knows how a striker plays, apparently. But
okay.
I used to think.
No opinion, silly, mate.
Yeah, everyone's but I used to love just listening to them, thinking, this is great. And then going to, like, use having a channel like that, it was boss to listen to, do you know what I mean?
But that was the idea. It was just like, we're just having a conversation, and if people want to watch it, sound, and if they don't, it's fine as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it gives us a chance to talk about it, but it'd give Evertonians a chance to, even if they were shouting at the telly, which I know probably, most they were ped anyway with some of his views, and me, obviously, it just gives you something to go, either, you're seeing the game maybe the way I do, or no, I don't see it like that, I see it differently, or whatever, and then the idea is to get more and more people involved. So that's kind of evolved then. And obviously when you have a studio, and as you've got here, you come in and it's there for you. It makes everything so much easier.
What was like the transition from going from like working and then both of you making the decision to go full time?
I'll be honest. I was in social services. So it started being a case of, I was on flexi time. So I'd do more hours and then be able to get off a bit earlier. But I'd finish work at like 4:30 and then be in the studio till 10.
Yeah.
Trying to get videos done. That would be content for the next few days. And then we'd try and get back in like on a Thursday or something and do another, just to try to thing you. So my missus wasn't too happy with that. and you've got to balance all that as well. And so it was just getting more and more popular. Enjoying it more. My work was getting harder and harder because, like I said before, Kel Surprise, government cuts for the Northwest, and I was working in Heighton, and Knowsley's like one of the most deprived areas for money from the government, and they just kept cutting. So the job that I'd got into was working with families, was to try and help them. And at the start, there was funding and stuff, and so it felt like I was really making a difference with some people. And then I seen a transition over, I was there 11 years, I seen a transition into more guns and drugs and going in people's houses and pulling guns out and stuff, and thinking, am I going to make it home to the family and all that kind of, and to be fair, they were never like, it was never, and all that, but it's difficult when you're going into people's lives and going, you need to do this a bit differently, and these people are like, some of them are quite handy, and
must have been easy for like your missus, like if you all got home and telling about that.
Yeah, I never told her after stuff because there's no need to worry people, is that it was okay, it's the thing of, it's even just association though, isn't it? Because I remember I've got a black Audi that I got it years ago, and I remember going into a certain place and three cars followed me out and pulled up alongside one on either side, and we're like looking. Obviously, to see who I was, I wasn't the person they thought, but there was one behind me and two either side.
Might have just been fans of Toffee TV.
Oh, maybe. Possibly. But it was stuff like that, and you start going, but the cutting was the real thing, and it was getting harder and harder, and I seen some really bad things that started to affect me, mental health and stuff. And obviously, Toffee TV was growing and growing, and then my uncle, who I was dead close to, was only couple of years older than me, just died, like a heart attack, and died, and I was just like, and he was working in the same kind of thing, and it just kind of, it just blew me head. I just went off work and was like, I don't know whether I can go back.
Yeah,
I haven't got that energy and I haven't got that thing, and your life can go like that. And that sort of made me go, we've built this thing up. I took a huge pay cut to do it, because obviously, try telling that to your missus, who, I want to do this thing that might not work, we have to make some changes and stuff. So it was a huge decision to do it, but it was like, I'll have a go for a year, and if not, I'll drive the taxis or something like that, try and be like him. And luckily, we've managed, and it's got bigger and bigger. She still keeps reminding me I'm nowhere near what I was getting paid years ago, but I'm happier and I'm still here, aren't I? So,
yeah.
And it's so it was an easy transition, but it was also a huge one and a huge decision to make.
What season was that then when you went?
So we went kind of like full time in 2018.
Yeah.
So it would have been like Marco Silva time.
Yeah. That's 4 years of building you've done there though before full time. Yeah. Like a lot of hard work.
Yeah. 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and then to go full time was like, must be amazing. Sort of like, well, does the novelty wore off?
You think like you've done it when you get there, like to the full time, like, oh, I've done it. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And when I was in social services to be at that point, I would be like, oh my God, imagine. But no, because I'm always thinking it needs to be better.
Yeah.
It needs to be better. We need to do, and this is I'm not saying it because I've done some hard work and jobs, you know what I mean? And social services was unbelievably difficult. And the people who, you know, great people who work there and are underpaid and underfunded and underprotected and everything else. What's really difficult about this is, like I said before, we're working there, it's like, never switch off.
Yeah.
And cause it's your own. You'll know this with just like trying to keep this, like try and build it. You're always looking at stuff. So I'll come home, like last night, just for argument's sake, I come home from the studio, got in at 7:30. And then my missus is like, oh, you know, sorting food out. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just go home. And I was on my laptop till 8:00. And then she come in and was like, are you going to watch something together? Like, you know, I'm like, yeah. So I put my laptop. And then she fell asleep and it was back out till 1:30. Because I'm going, need to do this. So it's you're always like switched on, trying to like look at things or can we do this better?
It's but constantly it's amazing. Going to, isn't it? Football news.
Never stops. Never stops.
Yeah. It is hard, isn't it? Like, it is hard. It must be hard for you thinking, oh, are we going to sign someone? And then you've gone home. And then someone might sign someone last minute.
That's like the Pickford news yesterday. I can imagine.
That's big, isn't it?
I wish I was in the studio there to cover that now.
It's hard because, like, obviously, we're not too bad with that because I've got some good mates who, and we get quite a bit of info, like, beforehand. Yeah. So we're normally ahead of it with that. But, like, we got the Pickford news. I'd already done the thing and wanted to go. But I didn't know what time it was going to break.
Yeah.
Just put it out breaking?
I don't do it. It's not my thing. We don't want to do it.
It's a bit of a risk, though. Let's say you just put something out breaking and then...
And then it's not real.
It's not even that. It's just not like what we do. The club will do it, or you know, other people will do. That's fine. That's not really what kind of like to do. You know what I mean? And a lot of people who I speak to, I wouldn't like. I speak to them, and it's like it is what it is. It's not. I wouldn't break anyone's confidence, kind of thing to do it. It's not just not. You know, it's one of them, isn't it? But it is annoying, like, because I was thinking that might come out today.
Yeah.
We'd cover it today, and obviously it came out as I was driving home. I was like, oh, well, deal, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Gives you something to talk about. It was good, because it gave us a topic to talk about today on the dinner time live thing, so it was all.
What's
right.
What's been your favourite moment so far on Sofie TV?
Like, on it, as, like something.
Like, working, thinking, oh, this is a mad moment, like, a highlight type thing.
Duncan Ferguson in the studio was a mad one.
Yeah.
That was a mad one. The first time we were at something and he shouted me, it was mad. But I'd kind of dealt with Duncan years ago, but I don't know whether he remembered me. Like, But with that. And then obviously the Wayne Rooney thing was mad in America in the summer.
Petals about that.
That was bizarre. Like, that was a bizarre moment.
Yeah.
So I've been watching you for years and.
Boss though, isn't it?
No, it's amazing, but it's mad because it's you're like, oh, you know, that's a bit weird, like. But just I don't know. It's just been loads, and we've had a good laugh, and there's been hard things, and you come in and there's mad moments and frustrating moments and amazing moments. Yeah. So
what's the hardest moment been?
The hardest moment is
the hardest video to make.
I think every time you lose, and you go in and you've got to be, even got to be, but I don't like to go in and continue to just be depressed about it, because I just think if you're watching it and you're depressed and I'm even worse, after a bit, that's like, you're just going to be like, this is, I feel like that, but you're just making me worse, mate, you know what I mean? But I think it's difficult to go, like Martinez was difficult because he was such a lovely fella, and we got to spend some time with him. So you don't want to. I know Ped went fully in on him. Like
he said, that was his hardest thing, hardest moment.
It was. It is hard because he's a nice fella. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Everyone says he's a nice fella. Yeah.
So it's difficult to. That getting beat 4-0 in the derby and having to do a video, knowing that Liverpool fans are going to be made up. You know, watching it and all that, they're never good, are they? And,
no.
But yeah, get when you lose a game and having to do like the final word and try to be a little bit upbeat is always.
Do you find it hard to like control your emotions after the game sometimes?
I always give myself time. I had one moment of weakness years ago after Millwall where I recorded immediately after a game and I was fuming with everyone, fuming with Mascheri and everyone, and I regretted it the minute it went up.
Yeah.
And I got a bit of stick for it, but it was raw.
Yeah.
But I made the thing then that I would never ever do that again straight after the game ever.
Yeah. What order did you think people watch the instant match reactions in? Do you know, for you and Ped?
For me and Ped?
Because I'd always watch his face then yours, because yours are a bit more sort of like, it's sort of good cop, bad cop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'd say he's the more, like, he's, you're more positive. I won't say he's negative, but he's
you're
a lot
like
more,
the voice of reason.
Yeah. It's why I like to give myself time. I think people watch it, he's up there quick, aren't he?
Yeah.
He gets his up immediately. I drive home, I've got my lad with me, and, you know, we get in the car and we have the chat on the way home. And I like to just think of, I think it's dead easy. It's dead easy to get a camera 2 minutes after the game and just call everyone crap. I think it's dead easy to do it. It's the easiest thing in the world because you're raging, aren't you? You're raging. Yeah. And sometimes you're raging and then after it, like half an hour later, you think, oh, you know, if I get home and I'm still fuming, I'll be fuming on the camera.
You probably have missed stuff as well. If you've been in a game, you haven't watched it back.
That often happens. Like last week in the derby, like I was saying, someone told me that they'd seen the Maupai shot for Cody and it was going in and Cody should never have touched it. So then you're going, oh my God. So so on my maths section, I said, I don't know if it was going in. I've been told it was, but I've not seen it. So if he's touched it, I'll be gutted because it was going in. I've seen it again. It isn't. It's going across the goal, I think. So there's little things like that. Yeah. Or sometimes I've gone, that looked like a red card. And then I've seen it again and gone, it's never a red card. It's just the way you, because in the match, you're not getting to see it again, are you? So there is that thing. But I always like to just give myself a little bit of time and think, well, try to look at the whole picture and not just like, Ped will quite happily say one thing, but that's his emotion, that's fine, and lots of people love that. I like to just think about everything and then go, if I still feel like that, then I'll say it. But it's just, by the time I've got home and had a cup of tea and sat down to film, I've calmed down a little bit anyway.
Imagine you doing an instant match, Jeff.
Oh, I was just about to say then, like us, when we get on, like, especially on the coach after like heavy like we all went to Newcastle last year when we got beat 3-1 on the Wednesday night.
Vile, weren't it?
And we always say that's the worst ever.
What, like, an horrible place to lose as well.
Like some of the shouts we were saying on the coach back. What was I saying? Oh, we need to make sure we've got a manager for the championship, like Steve Cooper.
Are you saying that we should prepare for the championship now?
Just like, and then about half an hour later, you just saw. I would say we were laughing then, but I think that's the only one where we've.
It is though, listen, people who shit around me would say that I'm not, wouldn't say I'm measured or I'm the voice. Some Saturday, I lost it for 15 minutes on Saturday in the dark. I lost it, so I apologise if anyone who sits by me is watching this, because I'd lost it with the, you know, with Roberts. I hate Andy Roberts and I can't have him, but the Van Dijk thing and all of that, just like lost some of the stuff I was saying was scandalous.
It's just sort of like at the match, sort of like my mum always says, like I make sure I don't watch the match at home with my mum and dad, because me and my half at the end of our argument, he'll be like, get an angry head, and then he'll shout 2 minutes later. No blame on him, is there? But it's like, I just change for 90 minutes, and then
crazy,
5 minutes after, I'm just silent, and then I do it all again the next week, and I'm just like, to be fair, thank
God. I'm not going again.
Oh, yeah, that's it,
it's the worst is, like, I go with my lad, but he sits within the upper bullen, so it's hard to get, you know, people have to die for you to get seats together in there. Mm. So he's in front of me, but he's like 6 seats away. you've got him closer to me over time. He was in the next block and I had to have people assigned to looking after him. But sometimes he'll say something and I'll go, oh my God, he's heard me say that, you know what I mean? Don't say that, mate. And he goes, well, you know, you said it. And I'm like, yeah, don't listen to me, mate. Have a, you know, try and be positive. Don't, you know, some mad shout. So he hates referees. And I know that's causing me because I despise them all. And trying to get that one out of him because on a Sunday, like, he's, you know, referees are giving free kicks against him or something. He's laughing. And I'm like, Jack, stop. Just don't get involved, you know.
What's your sort of thoughts on, like, I know it's a different topic altogether, but VAR?
I was for it. I thought it stopped certain teams being able to get away with stuff, and it's just plain sight.
Doesn't seem to have happened. Yeah.
Don't they just do it in plain sight, don't they? Yeah. I think it's, would we ever go back to not having it? No, I don't think so. I think it's too far gone, but we need to hear what they're saying for a start.
Yeah,
at it and just think it's half the time. It's like wrestling though.
Yeah.
It's like the fixes, it's been decided beforehand what the outcome is.
Do you think it's corrupt?
It feels that way. And I know people are probably watching, oh, shut up, you have got this or that. But look at Saturday, for argument's sake. There was three big incidents on Saturday that have just kind of been like, oh, well, you know, wasn't a red card by Van Dijk. Even though people are going, it is. Right, okay, well, all right. You either think it was or it wasn't. You know, the Cody goal, you know, there and there, McGallagher's explanation. James Milner's not playing the ball. What's he doing then? Because he plays the ball and it hits his foot, he's onside, Cody. So if he's not playing the ball, what's he doing? Because is he trying to foul Maupay? So it should be a penalty. Yeah. Is he just sliding? Well, it hits his foot. You know, the explanations are never there and we don't get them. And then obviously there was the Milner handball, which everyone just sort of went, carry on, nothing to see. And it's like, that's it. But then you see other teams, it's not just Everton, like Newcastle had a goal that shouldn't have been this
one as well.
West Ham. What happened with West Ham there, you know?
That West Ham goal, right, I'm in last man standing. Two people had Chelsea and I had Spurs. That goal cost me £100. I'm never gonna live it down.
See what I mean? No, it's that, isn't it? Yeah. And when you watch it again, you can see there's no foul. The keeper's expecting a foul, but he just takes his eye off it. And
I think they're the two worst, though. That Newcastle one, it's a penalty to Newcastle, if anything, because of the shove. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that West Ham one, it's just like,
it's supposed to take away the controversy. All it's done is cause more.
It is.
Yeah.
Look at us at Villa the other week. I mean, Anthony Gordon's goal, okay, he was mad. He was fractionally offside, but there was a penalty on Conor Cody before it.
Yeah.
Luca Dean pulls Conor Cody. That's not even looked at. You don't go, but, and then there's the Mason Holgate one where the lad just takes him out in the penalty area, just straight through him with the foot up, and you're like, if that was at the other end, would it have been given?
Yeah.
And it does make you feel like that, and it might not necessarily be that. So I think there's good points to it and bad points to it,
what's the referee that said they're going to be in front of a courtroom?
I can't remember.
Mark Halsey.
Was it?
Halsey, yeah.
I think he said they're all going to be in front of a courtroom one day, the referees or something. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's already said that he was instructed when he was at Anfield or Old Trafford to make sure they got all the decisions.
Yeah, see,
he's come out quite happily said that.
I've had this show for a while and it's proper stupid, right? But I'm going to say it, right? It's like, I think no matter what, if you're an English referee who's lived in England your whole life, there's going to be some form of bias, whether it's subconscious or whatever. Like, I know myself, if I was refereeing, like, I don't even know, like, Newcastle and someone. Mm. So, like, for us getting beat at Newcastle the other year, I might be biased there, even subconsciously.
Yeah,
like,
maybe
we've got all the money in the world. Why aren't they all the best referees sort of handpicked from across Europe?
It's them pity where he's got the Newcastle shirt on. He's a Newcastle fan now, okay. But they hate us now, don't they?
Yeah.
But he's a Newcastle fan. He's with his mates all the time. He hates Everton. I'm not saying he deliberately goes out and goes, I'm going to. But sometimes, if something's going sounds like, oh.
Well, what was the one?
There might be loads like that, wouldn't
it? Yeah, there's like Mike Dean. I think he's from across the water. Yeah, but he's going to. No matter what, in his family somewhere there's going to be a red or blue
lads, Liverpool fans. Yeah, so that was what the story. Yeah, I don't know whether that's true.
But there's going to be some form of connection. Do you know what I mean?
We'd all do it, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
you just would, wouldn't you?
You know, if you like had kids and your lad was an Everton fan, or like, you weren't, say for argument's sake, or whatever, or there was a club who you all talked about, you hated. But
you
no
never
one
felt like that. Like, you're not another referee that you're dead good mates with that referee. He supports that team.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know,
it's human nature, isn't it? So I think the good thing with VAR, with the offsides, which we're using in the Champions League this week, I think that's been good.
That looked well better when I've seen it.
Are you in fact? We've done this on our show today. One of the things we've done, but are you in favour of it being like absolute, or there should be a bit, you know, there's got to be a bit of leeway.
I think there's just got, it's got to just be absolute, because
I agree.
Any leeway, the moment, like,
how far is the leeway?
Yeah,
then?
That's
another, just being absolute, but you can be 1.5 millimetres in front. It's like,
you can picture it already, though, can't you? Like, a decision, two decisions in the same weekend, very similar. One gets to the leeway, one doesn't.
But Salah changes boot size or something like that. Just stuff like that.
But I would rather, because you're absolutely right there, is that once you go, like, we'll do 6 inches, say, you know, you've got, or whatever, then what if it's 6.1 inches, you know? So at some stage, because there was one, I believe, last night, at the time of recording, in a Champions League where it's literally like you're talking to fellas, slightly ahead, right? But I'm all right with that, because if the rules say to me that me and you, our feet have got to be in line for me to be onside, and I'm slightly ahead of you, even if it's a fraction,
it's offside,
I'm all right with that, because it's absolute. But what I want to see with that is I want the linesman to have some kind of buzzer or on his flag or something. And when that software picks up that I'm offside, I want him to put his flag up immediately.
Yeah.
And us as fans will get used to the fact that even though it's that, I'm offside. So we're in, like, Conor Cody's goal at the weekend, I'm kissing fellas 3 rows back from me, because it gone on. I looked, because I always look at the linesman when we score now. Has he put the flag up? No. And the thing that, so we're all going mad, everyone's celebrating. And where I sit in the upper Bullens, the TV gantry's there. So there's all the TVs. And I see my mate sits further down, right in front of them. He's on row A, I'm on row B. And he looked along and went, he's offside. So I'm like, oh my God. And then he looked again, he went, and he looked back and he went, actually, he could be on, right? So they're looking. And then I looked at Anthony Taylor and he went like that to everyone, as if, like, get up to the halfway line. So I'm thinking, it's going to be, like, it's going to be given, you know? Yeah. And it went on that long that in the end, it's 3 minutes or something, or it 2 minutes, that, 40 yards. And then, exactly. Whereas imagine if this technology's in and within 5 seconds, say, the linesman puts his flag up and we all go, he must be offside. It's like goal line technology, isn't it? When goal line technology wasn't in, the ball would go behind, you know. Our manager had one famously at the World Cup that was 14 foot over the line that he didn't give. But now we have a shot at it, the bar comes down and you jump up, the referee plays on and just goes like that. We all go, oh, mustn't across the line. And it might be that it stops
that. What if
exactly? And we'd get used to it, I think.
Unless it's Huddersfield at the weekend. Did you see that one?
Well, that's only the second time, isn't it, since it come in that it's failed. It failed. It went over.
It's like, well, across the line.
And but you know what? Didn't get given, no. Because the thing didn't. But you know what's mad about that is, like, and I know they don't have it in the Championship, but VAR should step in with stuff like that and go. Because remember Villa and Sheffield United? And Villa literally stayed up with that decision. Yeah. The ball was over the line because the thing failed. They didn't give the goal. But they had the pitches immediately to go, it's over the line. So for me, VAR shouldn't, because that is a clear and obvious mistake, which is what it's for. Yeah. They should have gone to the referee and gone, stop the game, go and have a look at this. And he should have been able to go over and go, all right, my thing hasn't buzzed, but that's over the line.
Yeah.
You know, and that. So I think the more absolute you can get, and you can even then take the offsides off the linesman, can't you?
Yeah.
You can say to the linesman, you don't need to look when Luke's passed the ball, or Mike, you know what I mean? Because think about if you're a linesman, these are fit athletes running up and down, you're trying to keep up. They don't look like the fit of some of them, do they, these linesmen? You know what I mean? Look like they've been on the ale. But you can't tell for sure when you've knocked the ball through to you. You just look up and see you go and he puts his flag on, yet your run's perfect. If they don't have to look at that, if they just feel the buzz and go, you're offside, but then they're watching whether you're kicking out at him off the ball or there might be a little elbow. You're taking that pressure off them.
And the players could wear something. All the players could wear some kind of vest.
Don't they wear the vest, don't they?
You could wear that and that's going to be exact the location where you are.
These cameras are supposed to do that, but why not?
Yeah.
Why not on the because they're thinking there's no chip in the ball in the Champions League, I've been told, but in the World Cup, the ball's going to have the chip in as well, which then reduces it to, for it to be wrong to like, a mid-G's cock away from being wrong, do you know what I mean? Literally, nothing. It's almost
I feel like
perfect.
The World Cup's always the start of something.
Yeah.
Because like they had the
start of that.
Start of that. There was the start of the foam on the pitch, drunk for free kicks and that.
Yeah. The shaving foam, yeah.
Yeah.
Why are they rubbish? If I get a Gillette thing and go like that and shake it, it's dead foamy. Why why can't they just use shaving gel?
I know.
You know what I mean? Because whatever they've got, it's rubbish, isn't it? It goes like that and it's gone. And you're like...
You just move it anyway. The players just...
Yeah, they just flick it away. You wouldn't have shave with that, would you? That's just like patches all over the place.
Anyway, in terms of mad things which have happened due to Toffee TV, you've been on the overlap, haven't you?
Yes.
So how did that come about then, the overlap?
I think they just got in touch and requested the Karma one to go on it. No, we just got an email saying, want you to come on.
Did it specifically say you?
Yeah.
Did it, yeah? Watching Pez on
it. What would you have done if Pez just turned up?
Especially now with Carragher's tweet the other
just
day.
Just think he just banned him, probably. No, I don't know. I don't know what it's. He just come straight. It just.
You nervous before that? Because it's obviously such a big.
The very first one.
Yeah.
And the worst thing was with the very first one was they send you this script of like what you've got to say. They just send you the thing going, right, it's you're on with this person. The breakdown of the show is this. Like you have to give them like three questions you might ask. Never, you know, you can say whatever and then put your hand up and say whatever then. So that was pointless to me at that time. But it said, make sure you butt in, make sure you're active like on the thing, like if don't just sit there kind of thing. And then he went through it again when we got there, like, you know, if you want to say something, say it. So on the first one, I butted in quite a bit. Because I'll
say you smashed it on the first one. In terms of all the fan channels there, I'd say you were probably the most active, weren't you?
But he told us to be like that, so I was butting in and then people had watched him like, oh my God, you were on it. And I was like thinking, I've spoken a little bit too much on this one, you know. But I don't know. It is
dominated by like the Liverpool ones, obviously Toffee TV, Arsenal, United, City. Like that is dominated by them, isn't it? That's like the overlap.
Yeah. Well, were you there for the one where Adam McCullough and Gary Neville, they had a proper heated debate it's about Kane, weren't it, going golfing with Neville, I think.
Oh yeah,
that was and Flav from Spurs was fuming. I asked him to take a few of our players golfing, you know, after that time, Schneidlin or someone. No, but listen, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant platform, and it's the sound.
Yeah,
the lads, are, you know, Roy Keane, absolutely what a fella.
Is Roy Keane really like that? Do you want the cameras are off? Is he that dry and fame?
Roy Keane, when I done that one, and he was on the first one I done was Roy Keane, Carragher and Neville. And I gave him the quip about he should have come to Everton. He went to Celtic and doing his career, he should have come to Everton. And he was laughing, wasn't he? He was looking at, and at the end, he came over to me and said, stay there. And he went to somebody, come back, and he was with me for about half an hour, and he was brilliant. And he was like, you're right, I should have joined Everton. He said that. And he was telling me about, Moyes wanted me to sit, and I had Kale running off, had to be perfect. And I was like, you would have been, but you're saying it now, years ago, and you come.
Our fans would have loved
him. He'd have been fantastic, because he went to Celtic and didn't really work out and all that money. But he was brilliant. But he's funny. Like, I loved him because he wasn't a fan of Fabian Delph, so me and him had a great chat about Delph and give me some interesting stuff.
If you could have, one Everton player, ever to come on Toffee TV and to have an interview with you, who would it be?
Like past them or in the current squad?
Just anyone.
Just ever.
Ever.
Who could still do it?
Apart who could still play? Oh, could, yeah. What, could still do the interview?
Yeah, who could still.
I know. All right. See if I can think, Now I've got to think of people who could still probably talk. who I would like to speak to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Kale would be an interesting one, Tim Kale.
Yeah.
But you'd have to get past his 48 watches that he advertises and all that. I think he'd be a good one, Kale.
Do you want to know who mine would be?
Go on.
Koeman. I'd love to know, but it's like... I love to just sort of have him there and just sort of go, what would you do? Do you know, just ask,
why did you have red baubles on you today?
No, but you know, just like some of the rationale behind his decisions and who he signed and that, like all brands, I think he'd be.
Yeah.
If he could be 100% honest, I'd love to sort of have.
Brands would be a good one.
Brands would be good to get.
Yeah.
But whether. And they are straight talking the Dutch, so
yeah.
Maybe I'll put a request in to speak to him, see if he'll speak to
him. I think it will come out one day, something like mad about
bits have come out though, haven't he, what he said, yeah. Or, you know, wasn't allowed to do this, that and the other. It's a difficult one, isn't it, that? Because it's like, how honest would he be?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, he might, Marcel Brands may well sit down and go, this happened and that happened, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to be that honest on telly? You know, I mean, we had Andrej Kancielskis, didn't we, which was amazing in the studio. It was mad because his English isn't amazing, but he was telling us all sorts, you know, and he didn't want to leave Everton and again before your time, but he was unbelievable. He was like a world
would you say class he's the
footballer.
Would you say he's the best player Everton have had in the Premier League era?
In the Premier League, yeah.
Him
and Rooney. Flip between them two.
I don't want Lukaku.
So look out for Rooney. Because he...
Do you reckon...
We will have Rooney on our show.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
See, do you reckon Rooney fulfilled his potential?
It's hard to say no, isn't it? Because he's England's record goal scorer. He's Manchester United's record goal scorer. He was scored in the Premier League when he was 16. He's unbelievable. The best natural footballer you will ever see. I probably will ever see. You might see someone.
I can't even imagine what it must have been like at the time for an Everton fan to have someone who, like, was sort of one of us at the time.
Yeah.
To be, like, probably the best in the world playing for Everton.
I'll tell you what was mad. Tell you a story about Rooney. It was mad because obviously I was working there. And there was obviously the buzz around about him.
Yeah.
You know, when he's 15. And Everton tried to get him. Tried to get special dispensation from the Premier League for him to be sub against Ipswich Town under Walter Smith at home. We had a few injuries and we didn't get it anyway.
How old was he?
15, right? So but it didn't happen anyway. We got beat at home as well, to make it worse. I remember going to Southampton away and he was on the bench. You had to take him out of school and he was on the bench. He never come on. We won 1-0. Steve Watson scored, but that was Moyes. It was in Moyes' first season. But we were playing Spurs at home first day of the season, and I'm in the park end ticket office, and we're just sat. It was Friday, and got Spurs at home. Bored in the afternoon, it was like roasting, you know, and quiet. The one was early there, and the next minute, seeing these like couple of lads coming over with a footy. It's like one's got no top on, the other one's like, you know, bouncing over one of the lids, ready to get his ticket and all that. He come over and he's at the window, I'm sorting him out, and then the next minute, like, I look up and Rooney, no shirt on, football. He's just like messing with the ball. And he comes, and I'm thinking, I want to be sat in that stand tomorrow. All my bloody thoughts and hopes are on you, you know, to win us the game. And you're here with no top on outside, just kicking the ball against the wall, like absolutely mad. And then obviously when I got to do the tickets, he'd come in every now and again and sit next to you. And I was like, looking at him, thinking, he's a kid, just a kid. But he was like, unbelievable as a footballer, you know, it's like a man. Yeah. He was a kid, but in a man's body almost, you know. But what technique, what talent, what. And when we seen him in Washington, I was telling him that story, and he was like, we should finish footy. I said, that game, Spurs. He said, we drew 2-2 the first game. He set the goal, the first goal. Richard Wright threw one in from Les Ferdinand near the end, and we end up drawing 2-2. He said, I went home. He said, then I went out and played footy with my mates for 3 hours after it. You're like, mate, Premier League footballer now, you're running around crocky with no top on till 9:30 at night, you know, and your dad's shouting you to get in and get to bed, you
There's
know?
So much I'd love to, like, sort of be able to, like, ask him, like, you know, off camera about, like, you know, his move away and stuff like that, like, obviously.
He said some mad stuff.
Like, you know.
He didn't really want to go when he went, but there's things happened and it made him go.
If he stayed, do you reckon we would have won something maybe, or...
It's hard to
translate.
I mean, you could say, well, he went and we finished fourth that same season with Cahill and all that. So you'd look and go, well, we were really good that year. And we were second at times in the new year. If we'd have had Wayne Rooney, would we have done even better?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Would we have finished second, maybe? Would we have won the league? You know, we probably wouldn't have done, but would we have? Because we Everton had 40 points on Boxing Day that year. It's just a dream, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And we won 5 games from Boxing Day till the end of the season. We finished 4th. 5 matches in like almost half a season we won. And yet, if you would have had him, where would we have finished? But would we have been as good? Because we had Marcus Bent up front, who ran his bollocks off and done amazing work for the team. But then you can't ever compare. But can't say we would have been worse with Wayne Rooney because he was unbelievable. But just an unbelievable talent.
Do you reckon if he looked after himself a bit more? Because, I don't know, it's always the rumour that he never really looked after himself. He could have been like a Messi, Ronaldo level player.
I think, you know what, this sounds mad because he was obviously, Alex Ferguson was an unbelievable manager, but he almost sacrificed himself by being too unselfish, Rooney.
Yeah.
You know, he is, I don't know whether he was ever as frightening at Manchester United as what he was at Everton in the first spell. And I mean, in terms of picking the ball up. And remember him playing for England against Turkey when he was 17 at Stadium of Light, and he was unbelievable. That Euros when he ends up breaking his foot when he's playing for Everton. We'd have won the Euros in 2004 if he'd have stayed fit. He was unbelievable. No one could live with him.
Yeah. I think I seen on Twitter someone put up like a compilation of him at that Euros.
I've seen it.
And it's just like, fucking hell, mad.
He was unbelievable. And you just had that thing of like, you got played through and you got to go. None through, give the keeper the eyes, knock it in the other corner. And we had that. And what was mad about that summer was we got bounced by Man City the final game of the season. And Everton, throw your hand in, final game of the season. We got beat 5-0 at Man City, who weren't Man City then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were like, full. Oh, no, you know, but they weren't City, what you think now.
Yeah.
And he'd asked Moyes, could he be captain for the next season? And we ended up selling him like 8 weeks later, or whatever it was, 10 weeks later, because things had happened and Everton needed the money, basically, and it's one of them. So it's a case of what, you know, what might have been. Yeah. But he was for a natural footballer. And I've seen Everton in the 80s, you know, winning, being the best team in Europe. Because they were, but he's the most natural footballer I've ever seen. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be boss if you've got him on, like, I'd definitely be watching that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he said he'll come on, so we'll see. But he's an interesting one anyway, definitely.
Yeah. Is Delafeu still a Premier member?
Apparently so. I don't know.
He might watch me.
He'd be watching you, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all right, him. I might go on that 10th Pint podcast. You never know. I mean, that's the craziest story ever, isn't it? But
yeah. Any more questions before we finish up?
Yeah, so we normally have a few. One random Premier League footballer.
From like any? Any views you've got heard of them? Or?
Not just any random one.
The more obscure, the better.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Do you remember Kenman Jones? Because I thought we should have got him on deadline day the other week.
Baller.
There's a few of them. There's Kenman Jones, Ricardo Fuller. Then you go further back, Brian Roy.
Oh, I don't know, Brian Roy.
Brian Roy was at a season at Forest with Stan Collymore. The pair of them were unbelievable. Dutch left foot. He had a great one season.
That might be the best one yet, you know.
Brian Roy.
I've never heard. Have you heard of him?
No.
Good one, though.
Brian Roy.
What about you?
Skagundo Castillo.
But he was ass. Thundercalves.
It was goal against Liège.
Goal, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was amazing. Socks around his ankles. What have you got then? Come on.
Alan Hutton.
Yeah, you see yours, if they're fresh for me, Alan Hutton, Rangers and Aston Villa and
Tottenham.
He was a dog. Alan.
A dog.
He liked to leave his foot in a bit, Alan Hutton. Yeah. But yeah. No, there's like, listen, you go on, couldn't you then? Think back to like Andre Silenzi, who was a Forest Italian striker and was terrible. Jason Lee, awful, you know, pineapple on his head and blame. No, that's Frank Skinner and Badil done a thing about him, and he stopped scoring goals and he basically blamed them for ruining his career.
Who was the one who scored the hat-trick for Middlesbrough on the first day? Ravanelli, was it?
Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Yeah.
Turned up at Everton with 94 minders. We almost signed him. He scored a lot of goals, the White Feather. Scored against loads against Liverpool. Derby.
Do you know when you were working at Everton, is there any players who we nearly signed who, like, you heard about?
Loads, mate. Robbie Keane twice. Robbie Keane was on Merseyside twice.
I reckon he would have been a good signing for
Liverpool. He'd have been a great signing for Everton.
Played for Liverpool, didn't he?
Raquel, he was on our Champions League list. Serious. Everton had to prepare it. The Champions League list when we qualified in 2004, wasn't it? because Everton were convinced that deal was getting done. Like, absolutely, and then they pull the plug later on.
Yeah.
The website had done something as well, hadn't he? Remember that? They were like, they'd had it ready and it never happened. But
didn't we know he signed Scott Parker as well?
Scott Parker, yeah.
Scott Parker.
When Scott Parker left Chelsea and he went to Newcastle, the agent was still negotiating with Everton 10 minutes before he'd done his Newcastle press conference.
Bloody hell.
Wanted big money, and Moyes was like,
did Michael Owen ever nearly sign for Everton, or was that just something?
Owen did, yeah. When he come back and went to Newcastle, we nearly had him then.
Yeah.
But we did have him, didn't we, when he went to United?
Robbie Savage.
He agreed, hadn't he?
Yeah, Robbie Savage.
Robbie Savage was another one, yeah. We tried to get him a few times. There's been loads, mate. Honestly, there's been ones where Milan Baros was very close to leaving Liverpool for Everton.
Didn't we nearly sign Dirk Kuyt as well before he signed for Liverpool?
Kuyt, Everton watched about 8 times, yeah, and Liverpool got him, yeah.
It's a mad one, isn't it? You can't even like picture him in an Everton shirt now, can you?
No.
Terrifying. He's terrifying.
Yeah. And the final question, what's your favourite pint?
Favourite pint? Oh, interesting. I'm not really a big drinker, you see. So, I thought you were going to ask me like music one there, so I'm all right, I'm happy with that. The pints. I like an IPA, but I'll be honest, mate, you're probably the worst person you could ask for this, because I don't really drink. You know, I might have the odd pint. So now it would be an IPA. But I do like Moretti.
Yeah,
if we have, but Carlo kind of put us off that a bit. But I let him off after May. You know? I was in Lanzarote on holiday when they won that, and it was a good night.
Yeah, we were all at a festival, so we were all refreshing our phones.
Couldn't
afterwards.
Get it, could we?
Yeah,
for a bit.
Well, we were in Lanzarote. I'll just tell you this before we finish. We were in Lanzarote, and I'd just done that overlap, and we were sat in the reception in the hotel. My missus is talking to someone at reception, and this fella comes in and goes, "You're off the telly, aren't you?" So I'm like, cockney fella, like, and I went, "Oh, he went, what? Just been on the overlap again. I see you all the time." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, right." So we start talking, thinking, "Oh, we might be an Everton fan." And he goes, I'm a red, like, which figures, like, you know what I mean? "What do you think tomorrow?" So I'm like, "Oh, I think there's a win, you know. You've got to always err on that side, haven't you? Because, you know, no matter, hell can freeze over and he'd still win, wouldn't it?" And so anyway, he was giving it the big one. He was excited and all that. And I was like, "Oh, you know, enjoy the game." I could never say good luck. I'm sorry if any reds are on. I just couldn't. And so that night, I'm adamant I'm not watching it. And Zach, my lad, like, "I want to watch it, you know." So within an all-inclusive thing, and the telly's in this other room, so he couldn't go nowhere. "Dad, can I watch it?" So me and my missus are here. I'm going, like, "Do whatever, mate. I'm not watching it." So I'm eating my food, and, like, you can hear, like, just, like, all these reds appeared from nowhere. Like, and there was a couple of Real Madrid fans, like. And Real Madrid scored in the first half, but it got disallowed, didn't it? But it was quiet at that point, and I'm eating, and I just hear Zach scream. And I went, and he's like in this thing, and then he sat back down. He was like, "That's Amelia," and I'm like, "Oh my god, he's getting worse." And comes thing, and I'm like, "That's me, missus. Let's go back to the room for a bit. I can't have this on him, you know, because he'll win. And I can't be doing with it." So we go back to the room, and Zach's like, "Dad, I want to watch it." I'm like, "Oh no, mate, I don't want to watch it." So he puts it on, and I'm like, "Let me get a drink and go in the other room." And I'm shutting the door, and he put it on, and I watched it for 74 seconds, and Real Madrid scored in that 74 seconds. So I then shut the door and go in the room. My missus is reading a book, and I'm like, "I've got headphones in, I can hear it. Oh, come nearly two," and I'm thinking, and I'm looking at my watch thinking, there's like 10, you know, like 3 minutes left, the bounce is going to, my heart rate's going up. Think, don't score now because it'll be grim. Anyway, they win. So I'm going and watch the celebrations then because I can relax. Then the next morning, I see my cockney mate in the bar on his own, face like thunder. I thought, I'm not going to say nothing to him, you know. Left them for a few days.
Have you ever had any other like moments like that where someone's recognised you somewhere dead mad?
Disney World. In the toilet. I've been the toilet seems to be a common theme, but I remember being in the Magic Kingdom a few years ago, and me and Zach are washing our hands in the toilet, and the fella's like, "America, I watch you on TV, TV and the ML, we used to do the MLS show and all that, and there's been a few of them in Florida that it's a bit weird.
I had I went to a festival in Lisbon the other day, and some lad said to me, said I had someone follow you off Instagram because he said like Nunes is gonna flop. He said I had someone follow you after that video.
And so, you were right
because you called Nunes out.
Darwin Carroll, as you're fuming.
Before we finish, where can people find you who are watching? The majority watching will probably be from Toffee TV anyway. But
well, there you go. You just said it. Toffee TV, it's on YouTube, and you know you can find us on Insta and Twitter, and Ned does TikTok, you know, it's one of them. But yeah, come over and have a look, and if you don't like it, fine. Yeah, just don't abuse.
Yeah, thanks for coming
thanks
on.
Thanks
and
very much
for don't forget to like and subscribe, and the 5-star reviews on Spotify help so much, so please give us one.
And if you like this podcast, you like the one with Ped as well. So you, thanks very much.
Nice one.